Well, hello. Come right in. Oh, George, we've got company.
This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Lever Brothers, makers of Swan, the new white clothing soap. Well, it's Tuesday night again, and that means another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, Jimmy Cash, and Paul Whiteman and his music. And now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Well, George Burns has made two New Year's resolutions. First, resolved that Gracie's club, the Beverly Hills Uplift Society, shall never hold another meeting in his house. And second, resolved that this year he'll be more romantic and greet Gracie each morning with a kiss.
Oh, sweetie pie, a love bundle. Here's your daddy with a great big kiss. Oh, sugar baby.
The little rascal's probably hiding. I wonder if my little doll could be in the living room. Oh, no. No. Oh. And I felt so romantic. Gracie. Gracie, I'd like to see you alone, please.
Oh, I'll be right out.
Well, hurry up.
Oh, girls, you know, every morning since the new year, George tries to kiss me like Charles Boyer. He calls me his beautiful Gracie. Isn't it clever? He knows how to say my name in French.
Gracie.
Oh, I'll be right there. I'll be right back, girls. Well, all right, dear. I'm ready for my morning kiss.
I'm out of the mood. Gracie, since New Year's, how many times have I told you I didn't want that club of yours meeting in this house?
11. Why?
Because I don't want them here, that's why. I made a New Year's resolution that they couldn't meet here again. Now it's broken.
Well, if it'll make you feel any better, I'll break one of my resolutions, too.
Well, thanks.
Let me see now, which one shall I break? Don't peel vegetables with your electric razor? No. I broke that yesterday. The razor, too.
Look, just get those women out of here.
But, George, today's meeting is so important. We have to figure some way to raise money.
Raise money? For what?
Well, to get all the birds to stay in Beverly Hills this winter instead of flying south.
Well, how do you do that?
Well, we're going to fill the bird baths with mint juleps.
A great idea and very sound.
Oh, yes. We even took it up with the mayor.
What did he say?
Oh, never mind what he said. But I wish there was somebody higher than the mayor so I could report him.
Report him to Gary Cooper. He's very high, 6'4".
Oh, God.
Yes.
Well, I better get back to the meeting.
What have I done to deserve this? What have I done? Why can't those
women... Hi, George.
Hello, Bill.
Well, gee, what's the matter, George? You look about as happy as a butcher.
The Uplift Society is meeting here again. I just can't get rid of those dames.
You know, George, when women come here, you should put on a very long coat.
Why should I put on a long coat?
Because in this house, you certainly don't wear the pants.
Certainly is very, very clever. I suppose you could break up that meeting.
Sure, easy. There are two ways to handle women, George. A, the caveman method, and B, flattery.
Use A. If I ever saw dames who belonged in a cave, those do.
No, George, I think flattery would be better.
Well, okay, but flatter them out of here.
Yeah, all right, all right. Watch this.
Oh, look, it's Bill Goodwin.
Well, girls,
Bill, don't overdo it.
Ladies, as I look into your faces...
Yeah?
As I look into your faces, I realize how charming, how lovely, how beautiful...
Yeah, yeah!
...a bar of Swan soap is. Swan, the beautiful new white floating soap that's purer than the finest Castile's. Now, you women have long considered Castile soaps the standard of purity, but Swan is even purer. In fact, Swan is so pure that thousands of mothers use it for bathing their babies. It's kind even to a little baby's tender skin.
Bill, do you think I'll ever be bathing a tiny little bundle of yours?
Well, would you like to, Tootsie?
Oh, yes!
Well, all right, I'll have my laundry at your house in the morning. Now, remember, ladies, if Swan is kind to a baby's tender skin, then you know it's going to be kind to your hands and help keep them lovely when you use it for washing the dishes or for any other soap and water job around the house. Well, I'll be going now.
Just a minute, Phil. You're supposed to flatter those women out of here. Do you call that flattery?
Do you call those women?
All right, Bill's gone, Tootsie. Stop quibbling. Now, let's get on with the meeting, girls. We still haven't decided on any way to raise money.
Oh, I got it, Gracie. Why don't we give a lawn party like we did for the Russian war relief and sell punch?
Well, I'm afraid not, Clara. You know, too many people remember that party, the last one. And it was all my fault.
Oh, now you mustn't blame yourself. We all helped mix the punch.
Well, yes, but I'm the one who thought that vodka was the Russian name for 7-Up.
What about this, Gracie? Why don't we put on a play?
Why, Blanche, that's marvelous. A play is just the thing.
I'm sure
there's enough talent in this club. You know, they say any woman can be a great actress if she suffered, and we're all married.
I'm not married, Gracie.
Oh, I know, Tootsie, and we may not be able to use you. You've suffered too much.
What sort of a play should we do, Gracie?
Well, I think a holler play would be nice. There's a lovely one about a doctor who takes a drink and fangs come out of his mouth.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, that's the one. I had a colored cook once, and her club put it on. Only they called it Dr. Amos and Mr. Andy.
We need someone really hideous to take the leading part, wouldn't we?
Yes, we would.
Stop looking at me. It makes me nervous.
Oh, well, I think we should get a man to play that part. Maybe one of our husbands can be the monster. It's a wonderful part.
Really? Well, my Harry's just the pipe for it.
Oh, now, I don't know. I think my Frank is much uglier than your Harry.
Well, it may sound like personal pride, girls, but I'm sure my George is more repulsive than either of them.
How can you say such a thing, Gracie? My Harry is not me.
My George is pigeon-toed.
Well, my Frank has exactly one hair on his chest.
Well, my George hardly has a chest.
Well, I hate to be stubborn, but when my mother first saw Harry, she cried for 3 days.
Well, when my mother saw George, she laughed for a week.
It might interest you to know that my Frank was turned down by 20 girls before I accepted him.
Well, it might interest you to know that Tootsie Sagwell said she wouldn't marry my George if she had the chance.
Did you say that, Tootsie?
Yes, I certainly did.
You see?
Well, that settles it, Gracie. Your George certainly gets the part.
Oh, thank you.
Here's the tune the sick kitten and Miss recorded a little while ago, and now everyone's humming. Cole Porter, you'd be so nice to come home to.
Thank you.
Haven't those buzzards gone home yet?
George, not so loud. The girls are still in there, and there's a big crack under the door.
Say, there is, isn't there?
Yes.
I wonder if I could get a hose under there and attach it to the exhaust pipe of my car, then I could leave my motor running.
Oh, George and... Burns, don't you dare! You've only got an A-book.
Yeah, well, that's the only thing that's stopping.
Oh, George, I have some news for you, dear.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, guess what the girl said you could do.
Yeah, well, they can do the same.
Yeah. Oh, no, George. The Beverly Hills Uplift Society has chosen you for the lead in our play, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Me?
Yes.
I wouldn't act in a play of theirs if my life depended on it.
But, George, this is a golden opportunity. It may lead to a career in the movies or something.
Oh, don't be silly. Who'd see a play given by that broken-down club?
Well, lots of people. One year, Harry Morton had the lead in our play, and a scout saw Harry and liked him.
Really?
Well, yeah, and look at him now. He's a scoutmaster.
A golden opportunity. Gracie, forget it.
Oh, but it's a wonderful part, George. I can see you now. You're drinking the potion that makes you change from Dr. Jekyll to Mr. Hyde. You gasp. You gurgle. You choke. Your face turns purple. You dye your hair yellow for the part.
What?
Well, it'll be so pretty with your purple face. Now the potion is working. You're going mad. You give a blood-curdling laugh.
Stop it. I won't take the part. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't take it if you burned me at the stake. I'll go back in there and tell them that.
Well, all right, Judge. Well, Gracie. Well, he's a little undecided. Now, let's see who gets the female lead. The part Lana Turner played in the picture.
Gracie, I think a perfect Lana Turner.
Oh, Tootsie, don't be silly. Lana Turner's a blonde.
Oh, yes, there is that one drawback.
Now, the only way to decide will be for me to audition everyone for the part. Now, all you have to do is give a terrifying scream and then say, "Help, help, he's choking me." Now, who wants to be first?
I'll be first.
We'll have to settle this some way. Oh, I know. We'll have the oldest one start first. Now, who's first? Well, it looks like I'll have to decide who gets the part myself.
Oh, Gracie, I'm the last one in the world to try to influence you, but before you give out the Lana Turner part, I just want you to know that I have a dozen eggs.
Why, Clara Bagley! Shame on you, Clara, for trying to bribe me. You haven't got any butter, have you?
No.
Well, shame on you trying to bribe me. You have to audition like everybody else, Clara. Now, let me hear you scream and then read the line.
Okay.
Tootsie, stop it this instant.
Oh, gee, I'm awfully sorry, Gracie. It sounded like a mating call, and I answered automatically.
Tootsie, don't let it happen again. Oh, I know what we'll do. We'll all scream together, and the one who does it the loudest gets the Lana Turner part. All right, now. 1, 2, 3, scream! Well, that was delightful. my, such talent. Now we'll try the line. One, two, three, try.
Help! Help! He's helping me!
Oh, he's joining me.
Good heavens. What's going on? What's going on?
Oh, God, please, please stop yelling. How can we rehearse with you making all that noise?
Gracie, without a doubt, you women...
We are not here, and that's the front door.
All right, and believe me, you are. I'm coming. Well?
Me and my folks heard a lot of screaming over here. Are you having any trouble, Grandpa?
Grandpa, why, you little...
Don't get tough with me, Grandpa. You ain't such a hard guy, except around the arteries.
Look, will you go? I'm having enough trouble.
Then you're having trouble.
Listen, kid. In a few minutes, I'm going to take a half a dozen women and kill them in cold blood with a big sharp axe.
Gee.
Yeah. So go back and tell your folks I'm having trouble. They'll understand. I see they've had trouble, too. Am I having trouble? We'll be run out of town. Stop it. Everybody is complaining. We'll be the laughing stock of the whole neighborhood.
Oh, well, let them laugh. They laugh at all great actresses. They even laughed at Catherine Cornell.
Catherine Cornell?
Yeah, but look at her now. This year she beat Yale 13-7.
All right.
Cash with a song right out of the top drawer, Moonlight Becomes You. All right, Jimmy.
Moonlight becomes you. It goes with your hand. You certainly know the right thing to wear. And what a night to go dreaming. Mind if I tag along? If I say I love you, I want you to know it's not just because there's moonlight, although.
Was that a mirage, or did I actually see those women leave?
Well, yesterday they went home to rehearse, all except Pepsi.
Yes, I'm going to help Gracie find some things for the play. We need a big knife and some rope and an axe.
Well, I hope you find them and you use them.
Oh, George, you just love this play. And Tootsie's got a marvelous part in it. Tootsie, do your part for George.
That's the part?
Yeah, that's it.
Great part.
Yeah.
The new Betty Davis.
Yeah. In the first act, she rushes out moaning.
She and the whole audience.
Tootsie, you didn't do that moan very well. Let's hear it again. No. It's not heartrending enough. Oh, by the way, did you hear that Victor Mature is getting married?
He is? Oh!
That's the moan I want. That's it.
I better not lose it. Oh!
Out! Tootsie, go down to the basement and lay that egg.
Oh. Yes, and Tootsie, when you're finished, look around for an act.
All right. Oh!
Boom!
Oh, George, I'm so happy you're going to play Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
But I'm not.
Oh, you'll be better than Spencer Tracy and Frederick Marsh put together. I always said you were a better actor than either of them. Well, goodbye, dear.
Better actor than Frederick Marsh or Spencer Tracy put together. Ridiculous. Some people don't even think I'm as good.
Oh, well, what do they know?
Say, this play was being given by a real company. I'd show them a thing or two. What a job I could do with that Mr. Hyde part. Just ruffle up my hair like this. Pop my eyes. Roll up my cheeks. Let's see how this looks in the mirror. Oh! Hey, so good I scared myself. Now I drink the potion.
Hello, George. Did you get rid of the club?
Bill, don't you notice something different about me? Look. Bill, don't you notice something?
New necktie?
I'm being a fiend. Didn't you see Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
Oh, that's what you're doing. Well, sure, I saw it, George. In fact, I was a technical advisor on that picture.
You were what?
A technical advisor. You remember that wonderful scene in Dr. Jekyll's laboratory with all the bottles and test tubes?
Yeah.
Well, I advised them to wash them all with Swan soap.
I thought so.
Swan, the new white floating soap is purer than the finest Castiles of Baby Gentle Suds and Whiz.
Couldn't have made the picture without you.
Oh, certainly not. How do you think they got that scene where nice Dr. Jekyll turns into the fiend, Mr. Hyde? How do you think they got him to go mad?
How?
I stood beside the camera with a bar of Swan soap and wouldn't let him have it. That made him angry.
Angry?
It drove Dr. Jekyll mad.
Yeah, went nuts.
He wanted that Swan soap because he knew that Swan is not only purer than the finest Castiles, but it gives you heaps and heaps of baby gentle lather. Lather that's great for your hands and swell for anybody's complexion.
I suppose without Swan soap, the picture never would have made $1 million.
Well, that's right. And they were so grateful they insisted on splitting it with me.
They split it with you?
Well, sure. They took half the bar of Swan and I took half. You know, you can break Swan in two with a simple twist of the wrist and use half in the kitchen for dishes and cleaning and the other half in the bathroom for your face and hands.
You know, Bill, sometimes...
Hey, Grandpa!
Are you back again?
Yeah. Did you kill those women like you said?
Yeah, I killed them. I slaughtered them. I did it all with my little hatchet. Now get out of here before I go to work on you.
You see, what did I tell you? Come and get them, officer!
Officer?
Gee, I didn't believe this kid. But I just heard you confess. It don't look good for you, buddy.
Oh, now look, officer. I was just kidding. Do I look like a murderer? They got low forehead, squinty eyes, and faces like apes.
Yeah, I know. It don't look good for you, buddy.
Bill, will you tell this cop I'm not a criminal? I'm a comedian. Tell him I make people laugh.
Well, George, there's a pretty stiff rap for perjury.
Well, God, will you go? I'll straighten this thing out myself.
Okay, Bluebeard. See you on visiting day.
Gee, Mr. Burns, I've been living next to you for a year now, and I always thought you was a drip.
You did, huh?
Yeah, and now you turn out to be a fiend who murdered 6 women. Could I have your autograph?
Out, out, out. Go on, get out. Beat it. Now, officer.
It don't look good for you, buddy. Now, you're practically in a chair. I can see the headlines right now. Burns, Burns.
Look, officer, I'm perfectly innocent, and my wife will prove it. Oh, Gracie, will you come down here?
Yes, dear.
Now you'll find out what a chump you are, accusing me of being a fiend.
Oh, George, look what I found for you. An axe to kill Mrs. Morton and a rope to hang Mrs. Bagley. I couldn't find any poison, so you have to kill Tootsie Stagger with your bare hands.
Go away. Go away.
It's starting to don't look good for you, buddy, again.
Who's he, George?
Gracie, don't you see the man is wearing a policeman's uniform?
Oh, you found one. He's already in costume. He's just the right size to drown the bathtub. How do?
How do you drown in a bathtub?
Look, Gracie, this...
Quiet, you. Lady, are you this man's accomplice?
Well, how dare you? We've been married for years.
Look, officer, I'm supposed to be Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and...
Quiet, you. Look, little lady, suppose you tell me the whole story.
Why, I'd be glad to. Where shall I begin?
At the beginning.
Of course. Why couldn't I think of that? Well, You see, half the time my husband is a monster, and half the time he's a doctor.
Yeah?
Yeah. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, when he's a monster, he hits people over the head with a club. And Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, when he's a doctor, he feels very sorry, so he gives them an aspirin.
And Sunday, I'm an air raid warden.
You see, when he's the monster, all he wants to do is kill women. It's sort of a hobby with him.
Like pressing flowers.
Then, the drink wears off, and he's himself again. He sees all these dead women lying around, and he's very embarrassed.
Can't stand an untidy house.
So what does he do with the bodies?
Well, he buries them in the basement.
Ah.
Well, this has gone far enough. There are no bodies in the basement.
Does this door lead to the basement?
Uh-huh.
You know what?
What?
It don't look good for you, buddy.
I know, I know. Look, I've had enough of this. Gracie, get Tootsie up here. I want the policeman to see her.
Oh, Tootsie, come on up here. I want you to meet a man. Where is he?
Well, here you are, officer. Is this woman dead?
Well, she's been dead. I know a haunt when I see one.
Officer, all that's been going on here is a rehearsal for Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's a play. A show.
Oh, a play.
A play, yes.
Hey, wait a minute. Did you think my husband was really a murderer?
Well, yeah,
but... Well, how dare you? And you thought he'd keep the basement full of women? My goodness, if he did that, I wouldn't have room for my pickle peaches. My dear. Now, you get out of here. Why, my sweet little George, you wouldn't hurt a fly. And believe me, if he ever does kill anybody, you won't get our business. Goodbye. The nerve of him thinking you look like a fiend. Well, come on, dear. You've got to rehearse your part.
Gracie, I'm not going to do Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Let Harry Morton be the monster or Frank Bagley.
Oh, but George, you know how little money our club has.
Well?
Well, if one of them does it, we'll have to buy makeup.
George and Gracie will be back again in just a second. And say, I hope you remember to try Swan the next time you wash the dishes. When you get Swan in that dishpan, just see if it doesn't give you suds faster than other floating soaps. And after you've used Swan for the dishes a couple of times, take a look at your hands. Just see if Swan doesn't help keep them looking white and smooth. You'll know what it means to use a soap that's purer than the finest Castile. Well, here they are, George and Gracie.
Oh, what a day. Now I can sit down and read cowboy love tales. Listen to this, Gracie. Oklahoma Tex found himself miles from civilization, without no horse and no food. Quickly, he shot a buffalo and roasted it. Never had Tex...
Well, what did he do with the fat, George?
The what?
The fat. You know, the government needs fat to make bullets and bombs, and Tex should take it to the butcher.
But Tex has no horse.
Well, let him ride on the buffalo.
I'll tell him to shuffle off.
The makers of Swan, the new white clothing show, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune in again next week, same time. By the way, don't forget to listen to Swan's other show, Tommy Riggs and Betty Lou over another network. So next week, this is Bill Goodwin saying, well, I, Swan, how about you?
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.